Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our review series examines books, movies, music, and other media in the light of God's truth. We pray that it will be eye-opening, instructional, and beneficial for your daily walk with Christ. Welcome back to Burden and Blessing. Today we are going to be taking a look at another hymn from our hymnal, probably one of the more familiar hymns, maybe not so well known for this time of the church year, but focused on Thanksgiving. We're going to be going through Now Thank We All Our God by Martin Rinkert, hymn 36 in the Lutheran hymnal, and joining me to go through this hymn for this time of reflection and comfort from God's Word is Pastor Sam Rodabaugh. Sam, glad to have you joining us today for this hymn study.
Yeah, I'm glad as well. Thanks for having me on.
So this hymn is probably best known because of its use during Thanksgiving. Now Thank We All Our God with Heart and Hands and Voices. But it really doesn't have a Thanksgiving background, or at least that's not the history of it. Not that it's not appropriate for Thanksgiving, it certainly is, but it's also appropriate for other times of the church year, too. You want to take us into that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. This is one of my, I got some young children at home, and this is one of their favorite hymns, and we have this little children's hymn book, and it is in the Thanksgiving section, and on the side it has like a cornucopia of things to be thankful for, and that's great. But yeah, you know, I think in general, as people, we can all be thankful, and some of us are better at showing our thanks than others, but generally, if you have something that you know, that you really appreciate, that you really like, that you use so much, that someone gave to you, chances are they are never going to know how thankful you are. We're just not very good at showing that thankfulness in that way. You might say thank you. You might write a thank you card. You might express it a couple times, but you're never going to be able to fully express just how thankful for a thing you are. And this hymn really kind of tries to reverse that trend, at least when it comes to our thankfulness to God. You know, it expresses in really nice ways the many blessings we can be thankful for, the bounteous nature of those gifts, properly addresses the eternal triune God as the one deserving of our praise. And since we have so much to be thankful for, it is appropriate that we continue to offer thanksgiving to God, not just the one time a year, but any time of year and regardless of what we're going through. Every Communion Sunday, most of our pastors will be, if they're using the Lutheran hymnal liturgy, during the proper prefaces, will say a prayer right before communion that says, "It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God." I think that's a great perspective for us to have before discussing this hymn or even singing this hymn. It's proper for us to be thankful to God at all times and in any situation, even in a situation like the world finds itself today, which is, you know, fraught with all sorts of questions and concerns about the future and what's going to happen to me and my family. Even now in this situation, it is still right and beneficial for us to give thanks to God, recognizing all the blessings that we have and recognizing that He is the one that we can give our thanks to.
This hymn, as you mentioned, putting it in the context of the fears of our modern world. You know, sometimes we think that what we're going through now is, you know, the worst that we've ever seen or the worst that there ever has been in the history mm-hmm. of the world. And certainly there are some great fears that we are facing as a society right here, right now. But let's put this into its perspective. Let's back up and let's talk a little bit about the author of this hymn, Martin Rinkert, who lived just after the time of Martin Luther. So he comes about, he would have been a child at the time that the Book of Concord was compiled by some of those other Lutheran forefathers, you know, Jacob Andrea and Martin Chemnitz and others. So he's right on the tail of that. He was working within Germany in that Lutheran period of history.
Mm-hmm.
But he was also alive during the great tragedies of the 30 Years' War.
Right.
And talk a little bit about how that may have colored, it did color what he writes here in this particular hymn, because this hymn was written during the 30 Years' War and his service right. as a pastor. Right. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, this is one of those things where, you know, if you tell someone, oh, you can still be thankful, give thanks to God, and they might say, well, that's easy for you to say. Well, Martin Rinkart, as he's writing this beautiful hymn of thanksgiving, when you actually know what he was going through when he wrote it, it's just incredible that these are the words he was expressing. Like you said, he was pastor in the 17th century in Germany. It was a town called Eilenburg. He was one of these smaller cities, but it was a walled city. It was protected during wartime. So during the middle of this 30 years war, he's the pastor in this town. He's one of four pastors in this town. I believe they're all Lutheran because I think that was the state religion of Germany. So Eilenburg, Germany, it is one of the safe towns for the region because of its walls. So just flooded, packed to the gills with all sorts of refugees from all the neighboring towns that are just trying to stay safe during this long, terrible war. During that time, so you would think that's the place you want to be, but they suffered famine a couple of times. There was also naturally food shortages because of all the people crowding in this one tiny little place. On top of that, you had, you know, all sorts of sanitary issues with all the people coming in, but also you had plague, which was, you know, ravaging through Europe all those times. The plague, this deadly disease that was ravaging through, and it swept through Eilenburg on several different occasions. In one year, I think it was 1936, the year that this hymn came out, or it was right around that time when it got so bad. In one year, we're told that Rinkart performed 4,480 funerals in just one year, which if you do the math comes out to be about 12 funerals a day. But we know that on certain days he even performed 50 separate funerals during the same day. On top of all that, the other three Lutheran pastors, one of them just got out of town. He had to get out of Dodge. He was, you know, didn't like the way things were going, realized it was not safe there. He left. The other two pastors died. So you have this town of Eilenburg that's just jam-packed, bursting at the gills, full of Lutherans, many of them dying, and Rinkart is the only pastor left, and he's just continuing to work, continuing to perform funerals. One of those funerals, who was his wife. He had, I can't remember how many children he had at home, 3 or 4 or 5 kids. And then his wife dies in the middle of all this, and he's still performing her funeral, all these other funerals, mass burials, and he's going through all of this, which really just kind of lines up with what we're experiencing today. You know, we have the same fears that you know in the worst right. situations we could imagine is yeah, we're doing all these funerals. That was his life.
That kind of puts it in perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah, because it was during that time when he's going home to his family, his kids, where he's raising himself, doesn't have much food to put on the table, did 50 funerals that day, and at the end of the day he goes home and writes the words, "Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today." And it's so shocking because, you know, he says he blesses us with countless gifts of love. He said this bounteous God. And if you or and I are counting his blessings, it's like, OK, what does he have? He has kids that are alive. He has a job, which many didn't have. And he has a little bit of food to put on the table. But if we're really counting up God's blessings to Martin Rinkart, you kind of just like that's it. It feels like. And yet he's saying, you know, countless gifts of love, bounteous God, all these things that we have to be thankful for. And so it really does kind of humble me in realizing, you know, the great blessings I have and the amount of thanksgiving I show to God, which just kind of pales in comparison a lot of time.
Yeah, it just really puts things into perspective when we think, you know, well, I've got things so bad, or I'm so concerned about what's going on. And when you realize that what we are going through now is not unlike what people who have gone before us have suffered and gone through, and sometimes it even pales in comparison to what they have gone through. It's not about a comparison, but it is about a reminder that no matter what it is that we are facing, God's blessings are there. They are abundant, even if we don't see them at the time.
It reminds me of the Apostle Paul, you know, who had a life pretty similar to Martin Rinkart's. You know, the section where he talks about he was shipwrecked, he was starved, he was left for dead several times. You know, all these different things that the Apostle Paul went through, and yet he writes, "I have learned in every situation the secret of being content." You know, we can have the Apostle Paul who went through all these tragedies and yet he comes out the other side content and thankful. We have Martin Rinkhart who went through all these tragedies and this terrible time, and in the middle of that writes these beautiful words. And it's because they both knew something which we know as well, and we just need the reminder of it. It's that even if everything else is taken away from us, we still are wealthy beyond measure because we have the peace that is given to us as a free gift by God, something that we could not purchase with all of the wealth in the world. Yet that's what God has given to us, the treasure of the forgiveness of sins, full and free, given to us when we do not deserve it. With that perspective, then we can say with Job, you know, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord, because what we do have is so much greater than anything else this world has to offer.
Yeah, that section of the Apostle Paul where he tells us we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Mm-hmm. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. What a beautiful reminder of the fact that, yes, we go through our lives in this life, and they are tragic. They are full of pain, suffering, evil, but the Lord is there with us through it all, and he is continuing to bestow his bounteous gifts upon us every day of our lives, and even greater gifts in the life yet to come.
Yeah.
Well, let's go into the three verses of this hymn, familiar verses. The first three verses, as we take a look at those, the first two emphasize the blessings of God. The last one is sort of a doxology, which we'll talk a little bit about. Before we jump into verse one, do you want to just talk briefly about the scriptural foundation for this hymn? In our hymnal, it has a reference that might seem familiar, but not familiar to a person who's looking at the hymnal. It has Ecclesiasticus 50, verses 22 to 24. Where do you find that in your Bible, Sam?
Well, it's not in my Bible. I do have it on the shelf, although it's sitting in the section of the shelf that's not meant for Bible study. That's from the what we call the Apocrypha, which is the Catholic Bibles will have that in sandwiched in between. I think it's just sandwiched in between Malachi and Matthew, right?
It depends on the Bible, but yeah, generally it's going to fall in there.
Right.
Ecclesiasticus will sometimes fall into the poetical section, so along mm-hmm. with Ecclesiastes and Proverbs and Psalms. So it just depends a little bit on the Bible itself.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Ecclesiasticus is one of those apocryphal books where some guy wrote it, but what he was – a lot of the material in it is actual scriptural references. And perhaps it was a person who was trying to regurgitate as much scripture in order to teach, you know, someone somewhere where they didn't have the written word of God. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's wisdom literature. So it's very similar to Proverbs or, you know, Song of Solomon. And you're right. A lot of it is of all of the books in the Apocrypha. Ecclesiasticus is one of my favorites. I mean, I like the two books of Maccabees that give us some history between Malachi right. and Matthew. But Ecclesiasticus, you're right, is a lot of that wisdom type literature that is based on what we have in the book of Proverbs. So of all the places to quote from an extra biblical source, it's about as close to the Bible as you can get. And as we go through this, we're actually going to see that while it is based primarily on this Ecclesiasticus reference, there's a lot of biblical references that are mentioned by Rinkhart in the hymn itself.
Right, right.
That remind us that this is not something that is contrary to scripture. It's right. just simply supporting or, like you said, regurgitating what scripture has already told us in other places.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a look at verse one then. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Your thoughts on that first verse?
Well, the one line that really always just jumps out to me is, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way. I love that picture, particularly because I have a young baby at home, and oftentimes he's in his mother's arms. And standing on this side of his life, I understand the biblical principle that from this moment in his mother's arms going forward, the Lord is going to continue to bless that child, and he's going to continue to care for that child even better than I can. Tremendous amount of comfort there for a father or a mother of a young child. The Lord's going to bless you. But also, I always like to bring this up with, the kids at our school or older people. It's, look back throughout your life, and can you ever find a moment where undoubtedly God had rejected you at that moment? Could you ever point to any moment in your life where God was clearly not working and clearly not blessing you? And anyone who's just being honest will have to say, no, I can't. Mm-hmm. Because we recognize, everything that we have, we owe to God, countless gifts of love that he's given us. And so it's good that we rejoice, and we, with our hearts and our hands and our voices, we praise God, because, from the beginning up until now, God has taken care of us, and he will not cease. As he's done in the past, he will continue to do.
It kind of reminds me of a couple of passages that we have, in particular in the Old Testament, that speak about, whether it be Jeremiah or Isaiah or one of those prophets that talk about the fact that the Lord has taken care of them, from the time that they were even inside their mother's womb. Some of the Psalms refer to that assurance that we have that God is with us, like you said, throughout our entire lives. But sometimes when we're in a dark point in our own life, it causes us to forget the blessings that he has given to us prior to this time, right? Doesn't it? And that's kind of what Rinkert is reminding us of, is the fact that, yes, you might be in a dark time right here, right now, but God is still with you, just like he has been with you in the past. It isn't God that has changed. It's just the surroundings or the situation in your life that has changed. The same God is still with you even today, just as he was in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's look at verse 2. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in his grace, and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. This one digs into it a little more deeply, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, now we're not that he was just scraping the surface in the first verse, but, now he's really getting to the heart of the reason for our thanks to God, which does involve physical, but particularly because of the spiritual peace and the spiritual blessings which he showers upon us. Starting in the first line, oh, may this bounteous God through all of our life be near us. How is it that God is near us? When you're talking with people, they'll say, oh, I know God is with me. And that's true. God does promise to be with you. But the even more important nearness of God comes through his word, when God can come to you in times of trouble and share with you the wisdom of God in heaven. He can share that with you through his word. That's when God is truly near us. Branching off that, he says, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us. The peace that Christians can have in knowing that whatever happens with this coronavirus, whatever happens with any other troubles in my life, I have the peace of God, which surpasses all my understanding and will guard and keep my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I have peace knowing that all of my sins and all of the guilt and all of the disappointments of my life, they're nothing compared with the glory that God has awaiting me in heaven because of Christ Jesus' blood and righteousness, which was shed to pay for those things. So again, we're diving into the real foundation of our hope and our thankfulness is that peace which God puts as the foundation of the Christian life. He keeps us in his grace and guides us when perplexed. We're perplexed now. I think there's a lot of people that are fearful now and confused and, maybe even losing their jobs. If maybe you're listening to this now and you've had a lot of these worries, and yet we still understand the Lord is near. Not only does the Lord answer prayers, but the Lord also has the answer for us, which is in His Word, which is the peace which surpasses everything else. And that no matter how things turn, we still have that blessed assurance of eternal life awaiting us. And so even if one of us or our loved ones do die because of these times, we know what God's answer to that is. That's why He says He frees us from all ills in this world and the next. Not that He promises to keep us healthy, but He does promise to give us the solution for sickness and viruses and death, which is Christ Jesus. So He will keep us free from ills in that sense in this life. And once we get to the next life in heaven, we're going to be free of all death and sorrow and pain and viruses and everything else. So the physical truths that we look at, if we're being honest, we will find a lot of things to be thankful for. Although during different times of our lives, it will be more difficult to see these bounteous gifts that He's talking about. But there are those unseeable truths which will continue to remain both in good times and in bad. And those are the things that God promises He will never take away from us.
I think that's one of the most important things as you take a look at Martin Rinkert. You know, you talked about that earlier. Well, what were the three things that he had? He had his children. He had a job. He had a little bit of food. So from an earthly perspective, it didn't seem like he had much, did it?
Right.
But even though he didn't have much from an earthly perspective, he recognizes and confesses in this hymn, I still have a bountiful gifts of God because I have that peace which surpasses all understanding, because I have that grace that covers all of my sin that no one can take away.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of reminds me of Luther's great hymn. Now take they all our life, goods, fame, you know, anything, no matter what it is that it might be that we have physically in this life, they can take it away. What does Luther say? They still have nothing won.
Right.
They still haven't done anything because they can't take away what God has given to us in His grace, in His peace, in His mercy, the forgiveness of sins, life, salvation. That cannot be taken away.
Yeah.
And the problem that we run into as human beings many times is that too often we only look at the physical blessings. And we fail to realize those greater spiritual blessings that are ours and cannot be taken away no matter what we face in this life. There's the right. Coronavirus can't take away the forgiveness of sins, life, or salvation.
Right.
Nothing in this life that we can face can take those gifts of God away from us. That is our joy. That is our confidence, just like it was Rinkert's.
Yeah. Yeah, it was my sermon last night here at church on Wednesday night. Jesus says that, you know, none can snatch them out of my hand. Jesus, you know, he told the Father that I have lost none of which you have given to me. And that's the truth. In our Father's hand, in our Savior's hand is the best place we can be, because not even the devil himself can take us away from Him. And as long as we continue to focus on those truths, the Lord will really set into perspective everything else in our lives and we'll be blessed for it.
You know, the first two verses, they're fairly generic in the sense that it does mention grace in the second verse.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about peace, which you emphasized, but those are terms that other religions use also, but they redefine them or they reinterpret them in their own way. So up to this point in these first two verses, you might have a Muslim that might agree with, you know, and be able to sing along with the first two verses.
Right.
And so some people say, well, you know, I don't know if I can do that. But then we get to verse 3. And it's really verse 3 that nails down very clearly. I'm not just talking about any God here. I'm not talking about the God of Islam. I'm not talking about the God of Hinduism. I'm talking about one specific God here. It is this particular God, what we call the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that is the one who provides this grace and this peace that continues to bountifully bestow His gifts and His graces on us. That's what he gets into in the third verse of this hymn. So we read through verse 3. All praise and thanks to God the Father now be given, the Son, and Him who reigns with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God, whom earth and heaven adore. For thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore.
So you have Father, obviously, there. You have the Son, obviously, there as well. And the Spirit kind of gets lost in the shuffle there a little bit.
He's not specifically named, is he?
No, but, you know, it says you have the Father and the Son and Him who reigns with them.
Right.
So, you know, clearly there's more than just Father and Son here, and it's implied. I know there's other translations of this hymn that say all praise and thanks to God, the Father now be given, the Son and Spirit blessed who reign in highest heaven, which it's a good addition, although I think we can also understand
sure.
the Spirit's presence here. But it's so important that we understand this triune nature of God when we are presenting our thankfulness to God. Because like you said, you know, a Muslim could read a lot of things. If you just say this generic idea of God, even a Muslim could agree with that. Most people in our world will admit that they are richly blessed, and whether or not they truly know where it comes from. You know, so many people have this idea that there's a higher power out there that's blessing them. But, you know, that's not really thankfulness. If you just address a generic thank you to someone out there and you just put it in the mailbox, it's not going to go anywhere and it's not going to deliver your thanks. So it's important that we recognize who it is who gives it to us, that it's the Father, it's the Son, and it's the Holy Spirit. All three, the immortal, eternal, invisible God whom all of earth and heaven adore, and yet they have set it as their ultimate priority to bring you and me and our listeners to eternal life. The Father creating us and continuing to create us and preserve us so that we stay in this time of grace. The Father who created us knowing that we would fall into sin and also knowing that He would have to give His own Son, and yet He did it all. From eternity, He was working to bring us to salvation. The Son, who obviously everything He did from the moment of creation was building towards that, and then coming on this earth and everything He did throughout His life was working to maintain His perfect innocence, and then dying that innocent death for us on the cross, and then the Holy Spirit continuing to work and be poured out into our hearts through the Word of God to create faith in our hearts so that we have this confidence. So we have this triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who we can't totally understand everything about. You know, it's one of those things that we try and wrap our minds around, and it's what's going on here. But we do know what God reveals to us about Himself is that this Father, Son, and Holy Spirit triune one eternal God works everything together for our good, which is to bring us to eternal life in heaven. So yeah, it's very appropriate that we address this triune God and give Him our thanks, because that is who we owe so much to.
Such a valuable reminder that we're not just praying to a generic God.
Yeah.
But a very specific God. And as we put this in the context of Scripture as a whole, to realize that this God has done everything for us.
Mm-hmm.
He has accomplished our salvation through His death on the cross and gives that freely to us. What a wonderful reminder and a comforting assurance that is for us.
And I like the final reminder at the end. And for thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore. These blessings that God has showered us, physical blessings from God, it was that way. It is now that way. It will continue to be that way. But especially the love which He shares with us, the forgiveness, the mercies which are new every single morning, His steadfast nature, where we are faithless, He remains faithful. All of these truths about God, they were true. They are true today, and they will continue to be true throughout the rest of our lives, however long that goes. We can continue to count on those promises from God too.
Past, present, and future.
Yeah.
Let's take a listen to this particular hymn. This will be sung by the Lutheran Quartet. Of love.
still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us and keep us in His grace and guide us when perplexed and free us from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God, the Father now be given, the Son.
Any final thoughts on this particular hymn, Sam, before we close?
Oh, I just think it's, you know, just such a wonderful reminder to us to, you know, Thanksgiving and all we have to be thankful for, and, you know, particularly the spiritual blessings which God gives us to be thankful for. And, you know, my hope is that as people sing this the next time when they're in church, they can hopefully remember some of those things that Rinkart was going through, or, you know, think about the Apostle Paul or Job or whoever it is that, you know, went through some tremendous struggles and yet could come out and say, you know, the Lord be praised. And whatever crosses we are bearing, yet at the end of the day, we can say the Lord be praised, because he's the eternal triune God that has worked our salvation in our hearts, and he will continue to work towards that as well.
What we go through today is not any different than what our brothers and sisters across the world today or throughout the centuries have gone through either. And yep. laying our confidence back at the cross of our Savior is our hope and our salvation. Sam, thanks for taking us through this very comforting hymn and appropriate reminder that it is not just for the season of Thanksgiving that we should be making use of this hymn, but that it is appropriate even today as we are reminded what a joy. You mentioned that in your kids' hymnal that it's in the Thanksgiving section, but in the Lutheran hymnal, it's actually in the worship and praise section, a very broader category that reminds us this is something that is appropriate to be sung. As you mentioned early on, yes, we should be thankful at all times. This is something that is appropriate for us to be doing, thanking God for his blessings, which are new to us every morning. We pray that this particular study has been encouraging and uplifting for our listeners as well, and that it gives you confidence in the Lord's presence also in your life right here and right now. May the Lord richly bless your day. We invite you to join us every week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast, where we will continue to proclaim Jesus Christ as the one and only Savior for sinners. Until next week, take comfort in the fact that God is your rock and ever-present help in trouble.